What a blessing. Amen? That's good stuff. I have another treat for you tonight. I'm going to have three of our Bible college students come up and give a short testimony. I've told them a short testimony, but give them a little time. One of the things we talked about the last few weeks is the value of ministry. We saw Brother Mark Haynes and I talk about 50 different souls saved. Talk about the value of ministry. Last Sunday night, the teens giving their testimony. I want to remind you that we invest heavily in our Bible college student, not just the men, but the ladies as well. Sarah Harrison receives $500 a semester from as a scholarship from our church there at West Coast Baptist College. And then our men and those ladies who surrendered directly to ministry receive $1,000 a semester from our church. And so that's a heavy investment on our end. Also, if a young man is going into the ministry and full-time ministry, he knows that's for sure and that's what God's called him to do, then he can intern with us the first year, the first summer out of high school. And so we've had several come through that have done that. Caleb, of course, and the first one was Russell. Caleb, Dylan, Victor. This year has been Joshua and Dayton. And the next year will be Noah. Look at him. He's excited about it. I don't remember who else, but there'll be and when they intern for us, they receive monetary. They receive about $4,000 for that summer of work, a little more than that, but $4,000 towards their college the first semester. And so just, again, the investment we make. So I think Caleb will kind of allude to how much we've invested in him when he comes up and gives his testimony. But the value of ministry, to see what they've done, and then remembering that when they go out, that we've had a part in that, and their fruit is to our account. I love getting on the ground level of something. You know, getting on the ground level of a company that rises and becomes very, very successful. I can get on the ground level of a young man or young lady who's in the ministry, and every soul they win to the Lord from here on out, whether they pastor a church or whether they go to the mission field, whether they are in the youth pastor, or a lady's teaching in a Christian school. Every soul they impact, every soul they lead to the Lord, is fruit to our account. Amen. From here on out. Hopefully they'll live a little longer, you know, anyway. So I'm going to have Victor's coming first. Come on, Victor, and then I think Dylan and then Caleb. And we will give Tyler that opportunity too. He's going to be coming through here in a couple of weeks. And he'll be staying at our house. We look forward to Tyler King coming from Florida. And Tyler, when he comes through, we'll give him an opportunity to give testimony to. We have let him preach in the past, but there's too many of them now. So, testimony.
All right. As y'all know, my name's Victor. And I'd like to start out with Caleb. He was my dorm supervisor. And with dorm supervisors, they check every room to make sure it's clean. And if most of you guys know, most of my friends do, my room isn't very clean most of the time. And so Caleb walks in there, and I'm still half asleep, and he gives me some demerits. I'm like, what are these? You know, because my first time in college. I was like, demerits, what are those? Like, if you get too many of them, you'll see the Brother Weaver, most of you guys know. And so, yep, it's right here. My first demerits ever from Caleb. And that was like the first week of Bible college. And I was like, all right, starting out great. But honestly, West Coast was just, it's amazing. It's amazing. You guys should make a visit. Come visit me and take me out to eat sometime. But it was amazing. But when you first start out before classes, you get to choose what ministry you want to join. And I know Caleb and I talked to Brother Jesse about do something that has to do with the bus kids. And I was like, oh, I'll do a bus class. You know, you don't get to ride the bus, but you get to be with the kids when they come back. You know, you get to be while they're getting preached at and everything. And the bus class, it wasn't really for me because I wanted to be really, like, involved with the kids, play games with them, sing with them, you know, just love on them because I know they don't really get it back home because where they're at is they just come really from a broken home. Their dad's not there. He's either in jail or he's just not there. And so my first semester, my ministry, it was okay. And then I really wanted to do bus routes, so then I switched it. So then I did it to where I still had the kids that I got on my bus class where I got on their route so I could get interact with them more. And bus route is honestly, hands down, one of the best ministries to join. I loved it so much. It's You get to go to the kids' homes. Well, not inside, but, you know, you get to play with them. And look, they're laughing at me already. And sometimes you get to, on a Saturday, you get to go, like, play football with them. And then a lot of them are really good athletes, and they outrun me most of the time while we play football. And I'm always breathing hard after, and then they make fun of me. But, you know, it's fun because, you know, I'm there for them. And I want them to know that I'm there for them. And it's great. All the little kids, you know, they're just amazing. And then we get to the men's devotions on Monday nights. Only us men, as Kayla, us men just go get preached at from Dr. Getch. And the message he preached on was real relationships. And I was like, oh, great, you know. And it was just really good. You get to, he speaks about, you know, how to treat the lady right and everything. And I'm just like, I need to get one first. when we first got there, we got preached at every day during chapel. And it kind of, I wasn't really happy about it at first. You know, I'm getting preached at every day, and then I have to go to church Wednesday, Sunday. But then I came back here, and then I'm like, I'm starting to miss it. I'm starting to miss getting, like, preached at, yelled at, and everything. And I remember Pastor Chapel one time, he was preaching up there. I forgot what the message was about because he was scaring me because he was just beating his pulpit, just boom. And it was just really scary, but he's a really great preacher. What they really drain in our heads is in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, is, therefore they said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And it's they like to keep the main thing, and that's soul winning. I never got tired of soul winning. It was just great. It's a great ministry to be involved in. And we really need to step it up. And I know today in our world, we really need to go out soul winning. Like every Saturday, that's what I did. And just really pray for us teens, our college students, to just to be go-getters and go win out souls. And please pray for all of us. Thank you.
Forgot your demerit. One of the things, Brother Victor is a first-year student, so it's kind of, I want to make sure and clarify, and Victor's done a great job. Dylan, third-year student, coming on, right? Third-year, no pressure, Brother Dylan. And Victor's involvement in the bus ministry and seeing kids one to the Lord and seeing how he's being trained to do that as well. So,
So, as you said, my name is Dylan, and I will be a junior at Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City. And first, I really do just want to thank the church just for the support and all the prayers you give us. The $1,000 that you give faithfully, it really does help us. I mean, especially when, you know, really we kind of work jobs where we don't really make a lot of money, especially with the school, and then it honestly just helps. It's a great blessing. I also want to say thank you to Pastor for just giving us the opportunity to give a testimony. Appreciate that. But at Heartland, the first 2 years, really, it's mostly just focusing on just growing spiritually. Basically, their mentality is if you're not growing spiritually, when you finally do get a church or something like that, how can you expect anybody else to grow if you're not growing yourself? And night and day, my parents can attest to it. I mean, I can finally talk to my grandma about Bible, and it makes sense. My mom, really, kind of. But, the emphasis is definitely growing, and it's really important. But the ministries I'm involved in, they do the same thing. We do the same thing as West Coast does. When you start, you pick a ministry. And at first, I helped in the third and fifth grade just Sunday school class, basically our junior church, but 400 third and fifth graders. And that's always a joy. And then at the end of my last year, I was able to, I got an opportunity to go and help in a Sunday school class. So now I kind of co-teach. I teach once a month to seventh grade boys and be able to invest in their lives. And visitation, we do go try to visit them. Just check up on them, make sure they come to church, and is a blessing to see him grow and everything like that. And then also, just closing, just want to share with you a verse that it was chapel or somewhere, but I heard it. And basically, just a little context before the verse, it's in John. And Jesus has just got done explaining to the Jews and the rest of his disciples about how he's the bread of life, and no one really got it. They kind of questioned, why would we eat Jesus? It doesn't make sense. And then towards the end of the verse, in verse 6, Jesus turns to the 12, and he says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? And he spake, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. It just shows that Peter and all the other 12 knew that Jesus was the Christ. And really, when I finally got to the point and understood that Jesus is Christ and how we should treat him and how we should worship him, I mean, really, It changed my life when I finally got that fact and just understood it. And thank you.
I feel like I just need to talk it between each one. Appreciate Dylan very much. Dylan interned for us, and I was telling some individuals, I had a little question about Dylan a little bit. And Dylan, you have exceeded my expectations by far, and I'm just so proud of you. And just proud of the young man you become, honestly. Also, just as my thoughts are about why do we give scholarships to Bible college students? Why don't we just give them to all college students? There is a difference. Here's the thing. One thing, we're investing in their ministry, and that's the vital. That's number one on the list. Number two, we're trying to, and the Bible colleges try very hard to keep their prices down, at least the independent Baptist colleges, to keep their prices down so that when they graduate without debt. Because here's the thing. I know our church, God's blessed our church immensely, growth and monetarily, and we take care of our staff very well financially. But the average church in America, 80% of the churches in America run 125 or less. And 80%. Just keep that in mind. 80%. Most of those churches, when they hire a pastor, they pay the pastor first. So the pastor comes on board, say they're running 80 in church. They're going to pay the pastor first. He's going to get some kind of salary. And then when they get to about that 80 or so, they want to bring on a second guy to help the pastor. That second man, again, 80% of the churches in America, that second man many times does not get paid hardly at all. And so we want to send the Bible college students out because most of them are going to become a second man somewhere. And what we want to do is send them out of Bible college without debt so that they can become a second man in a church somewhere that needs a second man, and they can do so on a very low salary. Ministry is still the second lowest paying white collar job in America. And it may be the first one now, but and again, that's not the case here at Heritage, and you guys are just spool us to death. But for the most majority, when I took my first pastorate, I made $14,000 a year. When I took my first staff position, I made $200 a week. You know, for the first 3 years of ministry, I worked a secular job on the side so that I could go to Bible college and work in the ministry. And then even after that, a couple of times I had to work a secular job to catch up. Brother Roy caught me one time, early one morning. He's saying, "What in the world are you doing out here at 5 o'clock in the morning?" I said, "I just delivered Dallas Morning News, and I delivered papers for a while years ago." So that's the point. We want to get them out so that they can start churches. They can start churches. They want to start a church right out of Bible college. By the way, we'll help you if you want to do that. then they can do so financially debt free, and that's the goal. And we encourage our Bible college students not to rack up a lot of debt, not to borrow a bunch of money for this and that, and get in a position where they can do that. Does that make sense, everybody? And so that's what one of the things to
do. My name is Caleb Crawford. I'll be a senior this year at West Coast. And I wanted to give you guys some numbers because I know we talked about, you know, you guys have invested heavily in us. Well, financially, it may be more than you even think. Right now, at this point, you have invested in me alone $14,000. By the time I graduate, you have invested in me $16,000. Now, the reason for that is I was able to enter twice, actually, here. Opportunity turned up, and it was a great blessing. I enjoyed it. But that just gives you an idea, and I was adding it up. You got Victor, who has $6,000. You got Tyler, you've had another $6,000. You have Dylan, who has $8,000. This is the money that you've invested in us. And I want you to understand, when we go out there, when we do this ministry, and like he alluded to, every soul that is saved through our involvement, you have investment in that. You were part of that. And so I want to give you some more numbers. And a verse that really hit me my freshman year. This was my dorm verse, or a theme verse in our dorm, that really just had a huge impact on my life. I've actually preached it here, and I gave it to our football team a couple Mondays ago when they started practice. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." We're out there at West Coast, and like Victor said, they keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is soul winning. And we were pushed to soul win. But many times in our life, we have a more of a sin problem that keeps us from even doing that. And God says, you know, awake to righteousness, sin not. The reason that people don't have a knowledge of God, it's because of you. And it's not just because you haven't gone out and you haven't done right. It's because you've been in sin. And so that hit me. And from that day forward, I just really determined through that and through working on the bus that I was going to wake up. And I was going to try to reach everyone I could. And God really gave me a zeal to reach the people there in the bus kids. And that's where I started. My first year, I started working on a bus route. And then by the second semester of my first year, I was helping run the bus route. We averaged about 80 a week. Now, this is a bus ministry that runs 600 or 700 weekly, okay? Our big days, we would have about 100 kids on here. I tried to think of how many kids I saw saved on that bus, and I couldn't even add it up. I couldn't think of how many that actually got saved from there. It would be in the dozens. There are at least 3 families that are in church today because of that bus route. That's just one area you had an impact in. My second year, my sophomore year, I helped start a bus route. That bus route runs right now about 50 more kids. So this adds up, and I was running through it today and just kind of going back, and man, God's just been good, and God's blessed. And I don't want you to think that your finances have been a waste ever. These are souls. And I know many of you guys in here say, man, if it was just one soul, we'd just be happy. So let me tell you about one more deal we do at West Coast. We do what we call the hunt. It's a big Easter egg hunt, but we do it in parks. There are 12 parks we do this in. We've done it 2 years now. Each park has a leader. For the last 2 years, they have asked me to be a leader in one of the parks. I didn't do the addition and the math on all of the parks. I know that the last 2 Easters, we have hit over 3,000 people in attendance at all 12 parks. In our park alone, we did one in the fall as well with pumpkins. So adding all 3 of the events together, the 2 years with the Easter egg hunt and the 1 year with the pumpkins in the park, there were over 708 people in attendance, and just the ones I ran. Out of those, there were 70 people saved. That's 10% almost. It is amazing what God does when people are willing to sacrifice and invest and go and do the work. And I am so privileged that our church is able to send us and to do this. And I know you guys can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot be there and be here at the same time. But thank you for sending us, and thank you for letting us go and do this work in your place. And I encourage you guys, as you think about it and we're going forward, I know this is a lot of money. I know it is. But the investment and the outcome, the results, they're heavenly gain. They're riches that are stored up from heaven for you forever. And I thank you again from the bottom of my heart. And I know these guys are very thankful. And I was just thinking about, you know, you paid for a whole year of my college and some. And I can run these events and do these things because I don't have to worry about my money. You don't know how much that frees up on me. And that allows us to do things that would never be possible if it weren't for you. So again, thank you very much.
Amen. And as I said, the ultimate goal is to see these young men and ladies. I know Sarah Harrison, her boyfriend, will eventually take a position. I think he graduates. He already graduated. I think she graduates here in another year. And God's going to use them immensely as well. And some of you don't know who Sarah Harrison is because she hasn't been here in a long time, but she is out of our church, and she's at West Coast Baptist College as well. And, you know, Kayla Udd and others we've had an investment in. Some of you kept up with Kayla Udd, and she still claims us, by the way, as her church, and I'm so thankful for that. And just a lot of good young men and women who are coming out of Heritage Baptist Church. By the way, it says a lot about our church. It really does. It says a lot about our youth pastor and the impact we're having. There is absolutely a shortage of preachers in America today. You say, really? Yeah, we talk about a shortage of nurses and a shortage of other occupation. Right now, Brother Elwell, who is the founding pastor of the Crossway Baptist Church in McKinney that we support, I was there on Thursday. His dad is a church planter who's now in his 60s. He's planted over 40 churches. And he has a list of churches right now in America, 500 churches without a pastor, independent Baptist churches without a pastor. And we just not keeping up with the demand. And so we know God, and we had the missionary here lately who preached. Remember, he said, man, it's not that God's not calling people. It's that that people are not heeding the call. God's still calling people, and we want to encourage our young men and women. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is with the pocketbook. Amen? I don't know of a better way to do so. Pray for them and encourage them. Turn up your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 19. And I'm looking at the clock, I understand. Just a short message tonight and a challenge to you. I mentioned this morning that we're all confronted with various problems in life. And individually, personally, we think about David being confronted with the lion and David being confronted with the bear. And God used those particular things to grow David's faith until eventually he was able to defeat the giant. And so each one of us understanding that God is working in our own life. And every week, every day, we may be confronted, and we are confronted with various difficulties in life. Look at Luke chapter 19. This is a week before Christ is to be crucified. And look at verse 11. This is, again, a parable. It says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was not in Jerusalem, and because that they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately." Remember, the disciples were following Christ, and they were following him somewhat for selfish reasons. They really thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear now. They really thought that God was going to establish the kingdom with Christ during their life, during their ministry, during their time. Even up nearly to the very end, we know that this was what they were hoping for. They were hoping that would be the case, that God would establish the kingdom, that Christ would be the founder of that and establish that kingdom. And so he said unto them, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive of himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. I want you to underline that in your Bible. If it's not, it ought to be underlined. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, and whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, I have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, verse 22, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury or with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Somebody else try to read all that. That's a good tongue twister. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the message in these brief moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see the parable of the pounds. And the pounds here is picturing for us or telling us of the gospel. It's talking about occupying as Christians until Christ return. And Christ is going to return. We're looking forward to the blessed hope of Jesus Christ returning to us. And we personally need to occupy until He comes. That word occupy means to do business. It means take possession. It means to busy oneself, to keep possession. We need to be busy about the Father's business. We need to be busy and take possession and to be busy ourselves until the Lord returns. We ought to work till Jesus comes. O land of rest for thee, I sigh, when will the moment come? I'll lay the burden by and rest with thee at home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. We need to work till He comes. Amen. What business do we have? We have the Father's business to win people to Jesus Christ, to get them in the baptistry and to work them. And we always used to use the term win them, wet them, worm them, and work them. Worm them is a whole other thing. But win them, wet them, and work them. And that is our job, to occupy till He comes, to take the pound of the gospel that He's given us and to tell others of Jesus. We've been given and we've been entrusted with the gospel to occupy till He comes. He will return. Amen. And we will give an account. Amen. I wanted to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. It says He's an austere. Man, I think that so many times we see God only in the loving aspect and not in the judgment aspect. And we also understand that we won't give an account for our sins, but we will give an account for our works when we get to heaven. Remember, we'll stand before Him and we'll be given a reward or loss of rewards based upon what we have done for Him and our motivation behind what we've done for Him. Let us remember that, again, personally, we need to occupy till He comes. And whether that's winning a person to Jesus next door to your home, or winning a cousin to the Lord, or coming to visitation, soul winning, teaching in children's church. These young men who go off to Bible college, and Brother Dylan working with bus kids, and Brother Victor working with bus kids, and Caleb working with bus kids, and seeing those children come to the saving knowledge of Christ, and then trying to reach their parents. That's occupying till they come. It's you working in children's church, or you working in the nursery. It's you telling others of Jesus in your neighborhood and at work. It's occupying till He comes. It's you being involved and helping in the ministry here at Heritage Baptist Church, occupying till He comes. Occupy till I come. Verse 13, occupy till I come. Some were given 1 pound, some were given 5, some were given 10. We had just had this discussion earlier about the various young men and ladies we've sent off to Bible college. And understand that all of them have various talents. And God is not asking you to do something that you cannot do. Some of you He's given a pound to. Some of you He's given 5 pounds to. Some of you He's given 10 pounds to. Listen, He's not going to make you accountable if He's given you 1 pound. He's not going to make you accountable for 10. Not everybody's 10 pounds. A lot of things I could work into that one. Not everybody's been given 5 pounds. But everybody's been given abilities according to, God has given everyone according to their abilities. And whatever abilities God has given you is what He's going to make you accountable for. You say, well, preacher, I can sing, but I'm not singing the choir. Well, that's the gift God's given you. And one day He's going to make you accountable for that gift. That's one of your pounds. You ought to be in the choir. Well, God's given, sorry, yeah, you. Helping out Brother Wiggins. God's given me ability to teach a class. Maybe you do have that gift. And maybe you use it in a secular sense. Well, use it for the Lord too. Use it for the Lord too. And take that pound which has been given to you and use that. We better be careful not to take our pound and just hide it in a napkin and forget. Because one day we will stand before God and give an account. And God, Jesus Christ gave various parables to illustrate this. The talents. We know about that parable as well. Listen. Whatever God has given you personally, you need to occupy till He comes. You need to take the talents, you need to take the gifts God's given you and use them for Him. Spreading the gospel is for all of us. Every one of us. And we need to occupy till He comes. We need to occupy as a church as well. As I said this morning, remembering that our purpose as a church is to tell others of Jesus. As a church, we must occupy, we must take possession, we must keep possession, we must do the business of God, busy ourselves with the Father's business. Occupy till He comes. We ought to be very careful about getting sidetracked. We can get sidetracked in our personal life very easy. So much going on in this world today. I was talking with someone this morning, And years ago, people could come to church, and they would come to church, of course come to church because the Lord has told us we ought to. But there was a day and time in which Sundays was set aside for that. And there wasn't a lot of activities going on. I'm talking about out there in the world, out there in the secular sense. And so really, and there wasn't a lot on TV. They didn't have 300 channels back then. You know, and so really it came down to, do I go to church or do I sit here or do I go out and mow the... I mean, there wasn't as many choices. Let us make the right choices. You've made the right choice tonight. Let us occupy till He comes as a church collectively, knowing that one day we'll give an account. We'll give an account. God has given us a gift. The greatest gift He could ever give, His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Let us remember that we're supposed to be giving that gift to others. So many times we're selfish and we don't. It's kind of like when a kid gets a Christmas present, you know, it's mine. Let us remember that this gift is supposed to be shared with others. The gift of the gospel. And the rewards are going to be amazing. You say, preacher, am I working for the Lord to receive rewards? I want something to lay at His feet. I don't want to get to heaven one day and watch my rewards be burned up with, you know, as wood, hay, and stubble. I want to get to the Lord and have something to lay at His feet. I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to occupy till He comes. I don't want to get occupied and distracted on so many other things, as I do, because I have ADD. It's easy to get just sidetracked. Let us not get sidetracked. Remember, Sunday school teacher, when you have a visitor come into your class, make sure you work the gospel into your story. Make sure you work the gospel into your lesson. Master Club worker, that's going to be starting up here in just a few weeks. Remember, you have visitors in your class. Work the gospel into your lesson when you have visitors in the class. Make sure that all your students, if you're a regular Sunday school teacher, you ought to make sure all your students are saved. And you ought to know which ones aren't and which ones are and keep in check. Because that's our job. That's what we're to do. Occupy till He comes. Let us be busy about the work of the Lord. Let us be about the Father's business. I want to remind you, one of the rewards is that we're going to rule and reign with Him. Y'all remember that? The millennial kingdom or something like that? No, the millennial kingdom. We're going to rule and reign with Him. You know, I want Lake Washita. I want to be able to pick my lake. Say, Lord, you know, if at all possible, can I rule and reign over Lake Washita in Hot Springs, Arkansas? I don't know exactly what it all entail, but I do know that we will rule and reign with Him. You say, what does that mean? I don't have time to go in at all. Time's up. But there will be a vast majority, there will be millions of people who make it through the tribulational period. And there'll be millions of people whom God ushers in the millennial kingdom. And the Bible says we'll rule and reign over them with Him. Let's occupy till He comes. And it's worth it all. It will be when we see Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for these young men who spoke tonight and their testimony. Help us to be encouraged to occupy, to do the work of the Lord. Help us as teachers and workers and every aspect of our church to be about winning people to Jesus, giving them the gospel, discipling them, baptizing them, and fulfilling Your commands. Help us to be diligent. Help us not to get sidetracked with frivolous things. Lord, help us, Lord, to occupy till You come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.